Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week, because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt. Two producers who happen to be homies, just joining on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ah-ha-ha-ha.
Hey, happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Bit Season. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
And I'm Matt Valdez.
It is episode 31 of the Bit Season saga, and it is also draft day.
Draft day? We're gonna have our extended draft talk on Bit Season?
No, this will be a shortened Bit Season due to draft day, perhaps.
Perhaps. You'll never know when we're going, although we might have some sort of draft shtick. Draft your favorite X. Draft your favorite Y.
I felt like an idiot today when Locke and Fora called in. And I said, "Happy draft day."
What a loser!
And I'm like, why did I say that? That's such a stupid thing to say. Probably hates today.
Because he's working hard.
He's working hard, and he's burnt out, and he's just tired of the nonstop coverage.
It's the exact thing. Like, say if John DePompa wished you a happy drinking show.
You know what? You're right. And that is an undersold part of the producing, is the chit chat with guests when they call in. It is hard. Sometimes it's hard, and you might think it's irrelevant. But let me tell you, when you talk to Mike Rizzo every single Wednesday and you're trying to think of something to say to him,
because he's down in the dumps.
He's down in the dumps.
His team sucks.
Or Lavi, they've lost a couple games in a row, or they got blown out the night before. You got to cheer him up and pump him up for the segment.
So for some people, it would be a thrill to talk to the coach.
I dread it.
No, I know. I mean, for like the Joe Schmoes out there. But I know what you. I know what you're doing. The move that you've been doing lately.
What's that?
Drab time. People don't know this, but I am so observant, and I know what Drab does. He's my work wife. I know every time he takes a dump at this station,
which I don't do.
Our cycles are synced up together, basically. So Drab typically eats his breakfast around 7 and his second breakfast or lunch kind of at 9 o'clock.
What? You're so far off.
I'm not. You go and you disappear around 7 and you disappear at 9.
I know, but around, I'm taking just a long leak.
Okay. But for whatever reason, you're heating up your egg or you're getting your lunch together. But Drab.
My second breakfast. What an ass. Sure, I have two breakfasts. What am I, some fat pig?
So when Drab leaves, he's timing up his when he's leaving for when the struggling coach calls in. So Mike Rizzo's supposed to call us. So all of a sudden it's 8:59 and Drab, for whatever reason, is heating up his second breakfast, and he's making me talk to Mike Rizzo in the middle of their 8-game losing streak, and they can't score a run.
You know, every once in a while I will do that when I can't think of any content to. To drop on Mike or whatever reoccurring guest that we have coming on.
Drab always wants to do, hey, congratulations on this, or whatever it is to put him in a good mood. Drab doesn't know how to soften the blow when his team blows.
Yeah, if they're on a winning streak, I'm a pro's pro. You know, hey, great job last night. That was fun to. I always say that was fun to watch. Hey, that was fun to watch. Great job last night. Meanwhile, I didn't watch any of it. But with Riz, I want to pump him up, and I don't want to say the same thing every week and just say, "Hey, thanks for calling in. Hang on, we'll be right to you." That's just like, I don't know.
Especially after we found out that Riz loves the show so much.
That was surprising, and I was trying to figure that out we're alluding to the picture that EB tweeted out this morning. If you haven't seen it, go to his Twitter account.
Where he's in his baller living room.
Yeah, such a baller living room.
With the junks.
With the built-in bookcases.
With the junks, crappy webcams up.
Yeah, that's... And Rizzo standing like 1 foot from the television.
And can't see Jason because his camera's blurry.
And the caption says, favorite show. That was on his wife's Instagram that we saw, and EB retweeted it today, which was very cool. But I knew something was up because he goes, all four guys are in today, huh?
And that's how you knew.
I was like, well, he's listening or something, or you know, he's paying attention to the show. But I didn't know that it was a family affair.
Sometimes you forget that just big sillies are listening in.
Well, I told you, I had that experience not with big sillies last week when I talked about my neighbor. And I realized that everyone in my neighborhood listens to the show because my phone kept buzzing and buzzing and buzzing with everybody wanted this scoop of who I was fighting.
Yeah, you were never so popular until all of a sudden you started talking about Stone Ridge and glory days. But that was cool that Mike's so into the show. I always get a kick because I always think about, I say, do you ever think Mike's listening when we say something a little dicey and inappropriate? And then what would his reaction be?
Of course, but that's why, because of Davey Johnson's freak out about 10 years ago, maybe it wasn't. I think it was Davey's freak out, or it was just someone in the Nats office who didn't like that we were talking about the Hulk Hogan sex tape right before his segment.
We're breaking down Bubba the Love Sponge.
Yeah,
and Hawk railing out his wife.
And I got a hot call of someone from the Nats office who was super pissed off and said, "Please don't ever talk about sex right before a Nats interview." And so I try to soften that blow. That was a long time ago. And that person probably doesn't even work there anymore.
So, but for a time being, we were spacing out some of the racier subject matter.
No, we still try to do that just because I don't ever want to deal with that again.
It was just that awkward.
But sometimes it happens. And I don't think Rizzo really cares.
Does Rizzo listen to Bit Season?
No. Come on.
Hey, speaking of listening to Bit Season, we should give a huge listener announcement to our biddies.
Yeah, so this week is the last week of Bit Season. Just kidding. Of Bit Season on the Junkies feed. All right, so here's what's going on. Valdez and I, we lit it up. We did so well on this podcast.
The suits are listening right now. The suits are paying attention.
They are paying attention. They like the numbers and that we're getting every single week. And it's the highest, most downloaded segment of the week. So I think they want to see how well we can do on our own feed, like away from the Junkies feed,
a standalone podcast.
If people are still interested in it,
RIP Fez.
We are going to move to a solo Bit Season feed. Now, if you listen to the show on iTunes, it should be the same. Just search Bit Season. But if you listen on the station's website, thefandc.com, it will no longer be in the Junkies feed. Just go to click on podcast and you'll see the Bit Season tab there. Pretty easy to find.
Yeah, all you biddies, you were getting spoiled and it was butt easy for you to just listen to the show after listening to the Junks on Thursday because it would just come up in the Junkies reel. But if you, like you said, search Bit Season on iTunes. If you go to the website, we have our own page now for all of our episodes if you listen that way. And it's best if you subscribe, so that way you'll be alerted immediately as soon as a new episode drops.
No, please subscribe. It's very important. Even if you're not a weekly listener or you just check it out or you catch up in spurts, just subscribe for us. It would help us out a lot and help us get those downloads that we can really use to make a good impression on the suits.
It's critical for our future and our future of the show. If it looks good,
if you don't subscribe, we'll be fired. No, just kidding.
No, if you do subscribe and there's a clamoring for more content, maybe we start doing multiple shows a week.
You never know; it could happen.
If the suits see that there's so many P1s that are interested in us and our biddies, then all of a sudden they'll force us to do more episodes and more great content.
Yeah, let's be honest. The Junkies are going to retire someday, and they gotta start grooming their replacement.
We are the heir apparent.
Well, isn't it going to be embarrassing when the Junkies retire in like 20 years, and then we're the heir apparent, and I'm almost 60? All right, it's Drab's big break here in Valdez. Valdez turning 54 this year.
Hey, tell me about your colonoscopy.
Old man radio.
Hey, so I had to get a prostate exam the other day. But yes, it would help a lot, and we appreciate everyone's support. And 31 great episodes, lucky number 32, so I'm excited.
Yep. All right, so a great week on the show. Again, I say that every week. It feels like we have a lot of good weeks. I'm not probably going to be honest. If a week sucks, I probably yeah. would say this week was terrible on the show.
Yeah, how would you address this? We had some dog weeks.
Yeah, just we really wasted your week out there. We half-assed it.
I don't know why you listened this week.
But I thought today's show, just starting with today, I definitely want to touch on Jay Moore a little bit, going back to last Friday. But let's start with today's show because it's the freshest in my mind about David from Punta Cana who called in. And I want you, Valdez, to kiss the hand.
Kiss the ring?
Kiss the ring. Kiss the ring. I'm not a linguist, but I do have killer radio instincts.
Okay. All right. Here. And hold it out. Hold up. Okay.
All right. We were taking commander calls, and I got some old man calls us from Dominican Republic wanting to talk commanders.
What was your first? Did you say, why are you calling from the Dominican Republic?
I said, you live in Punta Cana? And he goes, no, I'm here visiting my girlfriend for a week. I'm 73 years old.
Well, I mean, that doesn't take rocket science, right? Rocket scientists to figure
and
that out.
You know what? Props to him. The junkies did pick up on that. He sounded like he was our age. I'm jealous. That guy's 73 years old, and he sounded like a spring chicken.
If I look, we saw his picture and the picture of his girlfriend together out fishing. If I look like that at 73, I will be butt-sized.
I didn't think he looked amazing. I thought he looked
He's 73.
Okay, but your dad's about 70, right?
Yes.
My dad looks about the same as him.
He looks better than my dad.
I don't know if I even know what Valdez's dad looks like.
A big doll lurch.
He looked pretty good, I'll say, but he sounded great. And I think it was just so, it was so like out of the blue. I love it when these things happen, when an unexpected caller calls in.
Especially on a day when you think it's going to be all about the Manders.
So much sports on the rundown today.
Oh, my God. The biggest sports day ever. And he was the dessert.
And this is how you I know something's going to be good, or Valdez and I know, is if we only pull EB into the side studio. Because EB's the guy that loves sex and porn, and but he really loves the non-sports. And he's the guy who grew up like listening to Howard, and he loves the non-sports stuff.
Eric's the shock jock.
He's kind of the shock jock. So I said, Eric, my radio instincts are burning up here. I got a guy on the line.
Radio radar. Yeah. Buzzing.
That's dating a 27-year-old Dominican woman, and he's talking about how they're having sex in the jacuzzi. And I said, I know it's draft day, but I think this guy's a great caller. Let's talk to him. And he was all about it, and you were all about it. And he didn't disappoint.
I said this on air, but I was kind of talking to you about it more so between one of the breaks, that I love the fact that this guy who's 74, 73 years old, he is he's lusting with his señorita girlfriend who's 30 years younger than him. He felt the need to call in on draft day about the Commanders' 11th pick.
Yeah, he really wanted to get to that point. I kept talking to him on hold about his trip, but he was like, no, just put me down as David the Downer because I'm upset about the Commanders. And I'm like, dude, you just had sex with a 27-year-old. What are you upset about?
He just got done doing the first three pages of the Kama Sutra.
A couple things I noticed about that segment. First off, JP, he's always embarrassed about his Spanish. Why is that? Is it because he feels like
Do you want me to play armchair psychologist?
Yeah, armchair psychologist.
All right. Here's my Sigmund Freud analysis of this.
I think he speaks,
I think he speaks fantastic.
He doesn't sound like a native speaker necessarily.
No, but he can understand and translate for us. But I think that JP is embarrassed because his mother speaks great Spanish, and he feels like he's disappointing her because he doesn't know know, well, not know, but he doesn't sound authentic like his mom mm-hmm. did. So I think that might be something to do with
but
it.
But there's nothing to be ashamed about. I mean, he grew up in Bowie, Maryland.
And plus, JP's a perfectionist.
He is a perfectionist, but he did a great job. He should have just went with the flow a little bit. I guess the first thing she did say is, no comprende. So that was actually was a little embarrassing.
Hey, what did you think of my Spanish?
I was impressed with your recall. What did you say? Cano Verde?
I said necesitas, by the way, which is the, and I said, by the way, is the
proper grammar.
Is the proper grammar in Spanish for the verb of do you need. So silly. And I said cardo, and I didn't know card.
I actually think it should have been necesita.
Well, that's the formal translation.
Maybe you don't know her.
We're trying to be friends. Okay, so I used the AS.
I failed Spanish in college. I took it a couple times.
But I remembered verde was green.
All right, so. What was cano?
Cardo. Because I just put an O after card. The green card.
Oh, I just got that joke.
I didn't know that.
Okay, I was wondering. Everybody else was laughing,
yeah,
and I didn't pick up on it. So.
I said, "Where's your life insurance?"
Oh, yeah, searching for his life insurance. You know what? I told Valdez during the show today, I said, I don't know why everyone makes a big deal. And I saw their text coming in calling her, oh, she just wants his money or she just wants to come to America. Well, probably, right? But they could still fall in love. It's an arrangement that might work. Well, but he's also, whenever I see these gold diggers dating like billionaires, who is the famous model? Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah, Anna Nicole. She was
dating like the 99-year-old oil tycoon.
Who was ready to kick the bucket any day.
I tell Valdez, there's something in it for both of them. They're both taking advantage of each other. She wants his money, and he wants her good looks.
It's a business deal.
But they could still like each other and still love each other. It's just, I don't get it. People get upset about it, right? When they see like an older guy with a young woman or different classes.
Well, she could also be into something like that. Well, she likes the maturity. And then I'm not just talking about the money aspect, but she likes the maturity of like where he is.
Well,
you
don't need a 73-year-old to find maturity.
Very mature.
That's so ripe.
Tell me what World War II was like, babe. I'm trying to find reasons why this couple can work. Because I want to see love between them.
You know what? So I was intrigued about. And if you guys didn't listen to today's show, go back and listen to the segment. It was a lot of fun. This is what I was most intrigued about. It wasn't the sex with the young woman. This is what my ears perked up. When he said that his woman won't let him lift a finger in that house.
What?
I'm so jealous of that. I'm busting my ass every day at home. Doing dishes, doing laundry,
making
dinner, taking care of the kids.
How many recipes have you learned now?
I'm watching so many videos how to cook family meals. Now look, my wife does a lot too. I'm not saying she doesn't, but
you want to be Al Bundy.
I want to be Al Bundy. I desire that so much.
Sitting on
and
the
I'm
sofa.
So jealous of those dads that just the EBs out there that come home and do nothing.
Where I'm the big silly.
The only thing I want to do in my house. Is drive the family car. And I will forever give EB a hard time about that because I don't think his wife should be his chauffeur. I think the man should drive. But everything else, I'm jealous of EB.
You were a little bit stereotypical today.
I was. I felt bad, but you hear about that a lot.
I didn't know that was a thing. In
the Hispanic women.
In Hispanic culture, that the women are kind of run the household. So
well, of
speak.
Course, because it's a traditional culture uh-huh. where women.
Why are we not out looking for some senoritas?
Hey, I told you. I love my wife. She's great. All right, but when I lived in Arizona, that's what I was searching for. I took out the bus girl at the restaurant we worked at. She didn't speak a word of English.
She just sat there and nodded her head at dinner together.
This beautiful Andrea, I'll never forget her.
She was Tell me about Andrea.
Okay, so I worked at Native New Yorker in Phoenix.
Okay. Well, that is a very weird restaurant.
It was a pizza and wing place okay. Franchise in Phoenix. It's
New York style pizza all the way.
There's a lot of New Yorkers in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And great local restaurant. A lot of cockroaches. From what I remember.
All right, what was your job at Native New Yorker?
I was a waiter.
Okay.
All right.
And how old were you at this time? You're in college or?
I was 22, so my senior year of college.
It's the senior year, 22.
All right. And I, that was my heyday. I mean, I'm just sitting here like an idiot smiling to myself thinking about the women at Native New Yorker. I'm so trashy.
Was it akin to the? Do you remember the movie Waiting?
It was a lot like Waiting.
Where every single restaurant employee watches that and reminisces about their heyday.
I think that's when I was working there when that movie came out.
Uh-huh. You wanted to be Justin Long, remembering everybody's steak order by heart.
You know what? I think that. Did you ever work in a restaurant?
I've done like.
Not, so I guess not really.
No.
I would encourage
a banquet.
Anybody who's listening to this, it's too late, but you got to have restaurant experience in your life because it teaches you a lot about the service industry and how people should be treated. But it also, those people in the restaurant industry, they're party animals. I mean, these guys just, they're lifers. No disrespect to anyone who works in a restaurant. I'm not trying to be, who's 50 years old and works. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's a tough lifestyle, right? And it takes a toll on your body. You're working late nights and then you're going out drinking till 4 o'clock in the morning.
So many cigs.
So many cigarettes. You're waking up at noon. You don't know what day it is.
So the movie Waiting is...
Remember Waiting, they would, after the shift, they would all go to the house party afterwards.
They would go to the older guy's house.
Yeah, the older guy's house. Yeah, who's had all the booze.
Yeah, and go trash it and go hit on the 17-year-old hostess.
So I knew kitchen Spanish at the time,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And this is when I was taking Spanish classes at ASU, and I was working in a restaurant in Phoenix where most of the people were Mexicans, okay? So it was easy at the time. I barely remember any of it. But Mexican women loved me. I had this charm about me, maybe because they didn't speak English, right? They didn't really know.
The super pale skin was a turn on.
It was my spiky, I had spiky hair.
Frosted tips.
The frosted tips, probably. All that dumb crap.
You probably looked exotic to them.
I think I did. So Andrea, I'm not kidding you. Andrea did not speak a word of English. Maybe hi and bye.
Did you know her last name?
I don't remember it. I'm sure I did at the time. Garcia.
Right? Okay.
And
Andy Garcia. Get away, Andy Garcia.
I went out on the trashiest date. It's actually embarrassing.
Okay, but when you're 22, you really, I mean, dates when you're 22 are different than date nights now.
No. I asked her if she wanted to go get something to eat. I took her to the food court at the mall. I had to make sure I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, yeah.
Why wouldn't I do a fun activity with not a lot of talking, like mini golf or something?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I decided to take her to
the food court. Hey, babe, you got to try this Panda Express. I'm gonna show you the best bourbon chicken of your life.
Hey, I did something right. That girl, she loved me. I guess I quit. I actually got a job at a commercial radio station, so I ended up.
All right. Well, you're going contact. Too far. Did you guys have the same shifts together?
Of course.
All the time.
All the time. Yeah.
All right. So after the date, you guys would work together. How awkward was that? Did you ever see her talking in Spanish with a group of guys around and all of them laughing?
Nobody, she was too shy. She was very shy.
Oh.
I was the only one that like
showed her any attention.
Exactly. But she was beautiful. On the other hand, her friend was the dishwasher. This is so embarrassing. Okay. This is so trashy.
Buckle in.
So I was young. All right.
We're all young.
Okay.
And stupid.
I was just stupid. There was, I don't even remember, another beautiful woman there. Okay.
Oh,
beautiful dishwasher.
Two senoritas.
Two senoritas. One was the bus girl. She was like 18. This woman was 21 or my age at the time, but she was married to the head cook, the cook on the line at Native New Yorker.
Okay.
She was the dishwasher like 10 feet away from him. But somehow I would always go up there and go up to her and say, Besame. Ahora. So cringy. I just got douche chills.
Because there's nothing hotter than the girl with rubber glove washing dishes.
I'm telling you, the most beautiful dishwasher you've ever seen. Sexy, very sexy.
Hands pruned from hot water all day. And a hairnet.
Yeah. Now keep in mind, her husband, and she would bring her toddlers in all the time.
Ninas.
Yeah. Her husband worked 10 feet away, and I would always say, Besame, ahora. And I'd walk out the back door to like on break and sit down. Yeah. There. And I remember my final shift when she knew I was quitting. After all the months of saying that.
All the months of sexual harassment.
I think maybe it was. I don't know. Now, I was sitting on the stoop behind Native New Yorker, and she came out there, and she threw herself on me.
Whoa.
Yes. A married woman. Her husband, 10 feet away. And
let me get the picture. So you're sitting there.
I'm sitting there. I'm actually like on the phone.
Okay. And you're like sitting on like a 5 gallon bucket or something. Or a crate or milk crate.
On a milk crate with my back to the kitchen door.
All right. Now, does she like come around and like straddle you?
Yes.
Whoa.
Okay.
Like straddling you, facing you.
Facing me. Came out of nowhere. Didn't even know she was out there. And stuck
She just knew it was her one last shot.
She stuck her lingua down my throat.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, how quick was it? Was it a long?
Well, here's the thing. We made out for like 10 to 15 seconds.
Whoa.
And then I went into a full blown panic because I realized I couldn't see behind me if her husband came out.
The cook is behind you with the chef's knife.
Yeah. And I remember she whispered, "Let's go to your car." And I. Then my morals took over, and I'm like, I can't have sex with a married woman.
That is, in her car?
My car or her car. Like, that was just, that's beyond trash.
Yeah, I'm like half chubby, right?
Dude, I think about it from time to time. I have so many blown opportunities.
Oh, what kind of car did you have at the time? Was it the tiny hatchback type thing?
I had what year was this? 2006. So I had a 97 teal green Ford Escort.
Oh my God.
Nubbiest car.
Hey,
she didn't care.
Hey, you know what you should have done is you should have gotten at least a hand with those prune dishwashing hands. Hey, I've seen a lot of Latina maid porn in my life where they wear the gloves during the during intercourse.
You know what? Why isn't there any restaurant porn where the white spiky haired Caucasian is flirting with the dishwasher?
That could be a brand new genre.
So we made out. Andrea didn't see it. She was still in the kitchen. I had two women at Native New Yorker.
Did the husband ever find out?
No. Because it was that was my final shift when she decided to make a move for me, and I never talked to her again. But Andrea had my phone number, and when I moved to D.C., she sent me a text that said, "I will never forget you."
Holy crap. Those are strong words.
I know. She said in Spanish. I translated it on Google. And I actually still think, I still wonder if she remembers me.
I bet she does.
She's probably like, she's a couple years younger than me.
Yeah, she probably
has a family.
Probably same age as me.
Yeah, same age as you.
Yeah, has a family now.
Yeah. Hey, I still think about her.
Hey, what if she has kids and one of them is named Mateo?
It's possible. It's certainly possible. It's always fun to reminisce. I say you should definitely, you got to get your kids to work in a restaurant. Not for those reasons, but it teaches you good life lessons. Yeah.
How do we get there? Oh, 27-year-old Dominican.
Oh, that's all right.
David's new girlfriend.
I'm jealous of that guy.
Besame.
Yeah, I guess we got our show title.
Yeah.
Fun segment. Wow. That guy. I always said he's stealing my bit that, you know, when my wife passes away, when I'll be hopefully much older than 73, say I'm 86 and I'm on Tinder in Dominican Republic. I think then that's fair game. I can go after a nice young woman.
A nice young señorita.
Señorita, yeah. She was pretty though. I mean, not.
Oh yeah, we saw the pictures and everything.
All the pictures. She was very
out of his league. I will say that. But that's not fair. No, I know you're saying that's not fair, but
he's 73.
Yes,
she was a pretty gal. I'll say that. So props to him, and she won't let him lift the finger. That is what I'm most jealous.
And she got mad when he paid for her to meet her there. That was the biggest bombshell.
What do you make of that? Because a lot of people said, "Oh, that's just temporary." As soon as she sinks her teeth into him, then she'll maybe that's unfair. I think it's an unfair way to look at people who don't live in this country. Like we're so great,
for some reason we're
their saviors.
Yeah, we need to be the person that swoops in like Superman to save them.
I'm sure there's an allure, like we said, to dating a man from the United States, but. You know, a lot of women don't want to be disrespected like that.
Well, it's also a little egregious to think that somebody in a different country can't make money.
I don't think she has, from what he said, I don't think she has a lot of money.
Okay.
But props to David. Good call. Fun segment
that was
the Junks today.
I actually thought that put the Junks in a good mood, and also the fact that draft speculation is ending.
Right, and they were burnt out of the mock draft today. I thought, what'd you think of the mock draft? Or the two mock drafts that we had? Did we do too much on the show?
Too many mocks?
Yeah, to make it too confusing.
This is what I don't like, is that the two things that we did today, in order to get the junkies' attention, I don't like the fact that we have to throw money at the problem. Does that make sense?
To get them fired up for a segment.
It seems like to get someone to care nowadays or to get someone to take it seriously, we got to do some sort of gambling aspect of involved with it. And I don't like the way that it's trending. Does that make any kind of sense?
I thought it was a good idea. It was probably very confusing for the listeners. That's kind of what I'm regretting a little bit. And it was sloppily put together. Kind of last minute, we could have done a better job with that, but we had the idea yesterday to come up with it and to get them engaged in the mock draft. And we try to do something a little different every year, or to just until we find out something perfect.
We actually should have ended our mock drafts ever since we got Frank Caliendo to do the voice.
Yeah, that was the best.
Was it Kuiper?
Did we have him do Kuiper? The Kuiper voice.
So we had him do one for every pick, and we played it as our instant analysis with zings. And it was
how did we do that? Did he just record?
I'll tell you exactly how we did it because that was our peak producing.
Yeah, that was about 5 years ago. That was your baby. You took in that one and ran with it. That was a great job.
We had Frank connect to his ISDN because that's how he did all his radio hits. And what we did was basically we speculated every single pick in the top 10. And then we also did like five extras in case there was another thing. And then also some generic joning too. And then we just wrote out some material for him to read. And we kind of reacted on the fly after they gave their pick. We would react on the fly, then play Mel's analysis. And you know what the funny part was? Didn't JP think like it was live, that Frank was live?
Oh, I think so. I think that's right, yeah. That was great. He tried to like talk to him or something.
I mean, if you have that episode in your ROMCives, send it over because I got to find that. That was peak producing right there. But ever since then, I feel like it's not downhill, but it's just like – it's like Brett and Doggy Jams. How do you top it after
that?
Yeah. How do you do better than that?
Right. We haven't. I can tell you that.
That's true. Now, I just don't know what to do after that. Retire. That's what we should do.
No, we'll keep doing it. We'll try to keep having something fun every single year.
I'll tell you what I don't want to do. I don't want to have a reporter from every city.
Well, no, I know. Jason brings that up every year. And I appreciate Jason's interest in segments and being prepared for stuff. But that is, in my opinion, I don't want to tell Jason this over the airways, it's just hack radio. That's what every lame sports show does. We're better than that. We're more creative than that. We're the junk.
We're fun.
We're the junkies, right? Like, we are a top five sports show in the country. We shouldn't be having lame reporters on. No offense to Pete Haley, who we love. But like old guy, you know, some old guy from Minnesota.
Grasping from a blogger in Houston to give his take.
Yeah. And we always tell the junkies this, and a lot of times they disagree, but just because you guys did something in the past, or we did something in the past one way, doesn't mean we should continue doing it this way in 2022. And I don't find it that interesting. And the listeners want to hear the junkies.
Like, if you want to hear a full mock draft with everyone's analysis, you could just go to ESPN whenever you want.
Right,
and just go read it.
Of course.
It's probably a lot easier, a lot less time consuming. So I don't know. It's verbal blogging.
And you
That's
know
how
what?
I say
this
it.
Is a new tradition. It's a tradition on the show now, is that we have the junkies make the picks. We've been doing it for at least 10 years since Valdez and I have been the producers. So
I want to hear who the junks take.
And it's always very highly rated.
It is highly rated.
We always get feedback on two big NFL segments, our NFL predictions that in September and our mock draft. We always get monster ratings that week, and we could always use them. So we'll probably continue to do it. The NFL is big.
And plus, it makes better for us for praising and joning on everyone's picks in the future.
Of course.
That's the best part.
That's the best part, yeah. Nobody cares if the Raiders reporter blows a pick. In 2 years.
Yeah, everyone cares if Cakes blows it.
But when EB says Justin Herbert is worse than Dwayne Haskins, and we can play it on the show, that's great audio. Rest in peace, Dwayne Haskins. I felt a little bad taking any shots at him. But
We just, you know what we did? We just gave everyone some producing lessons.
We did. I think they do that. All right. Now, how about the comedian lessons that Jay Moore was putting on, the classroom that he was teaching last Friday.
I knew he was going to be great.
He was awesome. No other word to say but awesome.
He has great stories. He's honest and open. I will say I was a little shocked by his appearance.
That was the joke that JP alluded to, I think, when he came on the stage. JP said that on Monday morning when he was recapping the segment. Jay Moore walked on stage and he goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, guess what? You don't look the same either."
That's a funny joke.
Which makes me laugh because, of course, yeah, that was stunning. And I saw a picture of him, I think, the day before, or I saw him on WSA 9. I'm like, oh my God, that's Jay Moore. He just gotten off the plane. He was wearing sweatpants and like a zip up hoodie on TV. He looked terrible.
He looks like, do you remember was when Jeremy Piven was in the Seinfeld episodes?
Yes.
He kind of looked like that.
He did. So I knew he was going to be good the second I got to the lobby. And I'll tell you why. This goes a lot with like the Mike Rizzo conversation. Sometimes those long walks up to the studio from the lobby.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what to say to these
imagine those.
I don't want to talk about the weather or your flight.
Yeah, imagine those phone calls. This is basically an extended phone call.
It's such a long walk sometimes. Who was the previous comedian we had in?
Norton.
Norton was a little awkward.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't think that.
I don't know why.
Is that why you asked me to walk him out?
Yes. That is why I asked you to walk him out, because I didn't know what to say to him. And that was my fault. I did poor prep. I wasn't ready to go for Jimmy. It wasn't on him at all. It was a quiet walk.
I should have gotten Jimmy, because I know all about, I could have peppered him and everything.
So the second I saw Jay Moore in the lobby, first off, he came with like a cowboy. Oh, yeah. This guy
was wearing gold cowboy boots and a cowboy hat.
He came with like a 60-year-old Hispanic cowboy.
Some old cowboy.
And then I thought was his opener, because who would come with a friend? It just didn't make any sense, but I guess it was just a friend of his. And the guy was, his friend, the cowboy was great, you know, very just cordial guy. But Jay saw me in the lobby, and he goes, I was wearing a Seahawks sweatshirt, and he goes, "Oh, Seahawks. Man, what the hell are you guys doing? You guys are really blowing it." I'm like, all right, I got something to talk to. The whole way, we talked a lot of sports on the way up here.
Oh, my God.
And he was just super easy to talk to. And you guys could see that when you were watching on TV or listening. I haven't seen a comedian impress the junkies like that in a long time.
the guys were definitely impressed. And Jay did the great thing that really softens the junks is that whenever a guy is silly and like will compliment the show, not just like the junks, but just like the show, the feel of the show. Whenever they are praising the guys about that, the guys all of a sudden like loosen up and just buy in. That they feel like they've made a fast friend. And it doesn't hurt that they also want to star F them.
Right. Well, I could tell the first segment went well because as soon as we went to commercial break, I was stunned to watch this. EB, who's super tense all the time, doesn't want people like invading his personal bubble. Jay Moore walked by him to go to the bathroom and started giving EB a back massage. You missed it. It was for like 10 to 15 seconds.
I saw the end of it.
And then just patted him on the back and was and goes, great segment or something like that. I'm like, whoa, what was that? And EB smiling.
Yeah.
But here's what I tell you what I didn't like. And it was two great segments, and I wish we could have done more. I guess two and a half. I hate Lurch's questions. And we got great answers from Jay.
I would disagree with you.
I know, but I think I'm in the minority.
I know what you're trying to say.
Okay, and what am I trying to say?
What you're trying to say is, I love when all of the Hollywood insider stuff and the Hollywood stories, but you don't like how Jason goes, what do you think of X?
Exactly. Okay, I love the insider stories. Jay told great stories.
You just don't like how we got there.
Because here's why, and this goes back to what we were just talking about. The junkies have great chemistry. They are the ones they can do a show unlike anybody else. Well, any idiot in Des Moines, Iowa could ask Jay Moore, hey, what was it like working on a movie with Jennifer Aniston?
Yeah.
And I just like, oh, anybody ask. He probably gets asked that all the time. Every radio stop
What was it like with Tom Cruise? Every single person probably says that to him.
Right. The junkies are best at just
talking,
spitballing. It doesn't even matter what comes up. You could joan on his outfit, his bad brains outfit, or you could joan his looks, or like what he's going to do in whatever. The softball, what was this other actor like? Always just kind of like, oh, come on.
He doesn't want to talk about that. Yeah, but Jay took it great.
He could have easily
just like dismissed it. And then I was just worried that the worm was going to turn.
But it never did. And you know what? It was actually, I have to give Lurch credit because Lurch, I will say, is the best interviewer on the Junkies. Sports interviews, right? Jason does his prep. He asks thoughtful questions. He has good responses. He's listening to what the people say. Jason, in my opinion, by far the best interviewer on the show. I hope that doesn't offend the other guys. That's just my opinion. But maybe Jason was just feeling him out. It was like, hey, he's giving great answers, so I'm just going to keep asking him these softball questions.
Uh-huh.
But they were going so well. At one point, you and me did get in Jason's ear and go, and we said, ask him about Bill Murray.
Well, because
Bill Murray was in the news that day, and I read on Reddit this great story that Jay told about.
So in my mind, it would have gone, hey, Jay, did you see Bill Murray was in the news about inappropriately touching
somebody? There's a better way
to
phrase the question.
Instead of, what was Bill Murray like?
100% right.
That's the phrasing of the question. It would have sounded better.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
I know what you mean, though.
But it is hard. Like, it is very hard for, just think about going into a room with four strangers, even if you're a professional speaker.
Especially being that open.
And being that, and just shooting the crap with four random guys and making it entertaining. It's hard to do. But Jay, outstanding radio guest. I asked for his manager's number, and he goes, let me give you my number.
Now, did you pass that along to Jason? Because Jason was all psyched to get his number.
I don't think I did.
Have you been in contact with Jay since?
No, I thought about sending a text.
You should have sent a thank you text later.
I know. Is it too late to send one? Probably.
The window's closed by now.
He's already forgotten about it.
Yeah. He's on to Cincinnati. Yeah, yeah. He's on to the next morning show.
Yeah.
He's talking to Bob and Tom right now.
Well, I think we got a couple more comedians. Well, I shouldn't say that because one of them just got canceled. We had Michael Rapaport in studio tomorrow. I'm irritated because he was confirmed, everything was good to go, and I just got a text from Allison right before we started recording Bit Season that Rapaport can't come on or won't come on. I don't know the difference. Something came up, and he just wants to call in.
And Collins. Here's the problem.
Now, Rappaport's been on a call-in before, and he was good.
Yeah, but the problem is the high after Jay Moore. You know what I mean? So that's going to be in the junk's mind. Is the next comedian that you have on after Jay Moore is going to seem insignificant. Because you need that.
He's following up a legend?
Yeah, exactly. You're following up the high of Jay Moore.
I know, but Michael Rappaport is in that same category where he can come on and he's just a great talker. And so he can be in any situation. I know a lot of people don't like Rappaport and they fight, but he's a great radio guest. But just inside baseball, only you guys will know this. Rappaport wanted to just call in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But after talking with Valdez, we didn't want to reward him with a call-in by canceling the in-studio the day before. It's just not going to be as good, and I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, no problem, we'll just do a phoner, when we had you all teed up to do an in-studio, and it would have been great, and you just want to be lazy, in my opinion, and not come in.
I think that as well. And also, it's a bad precedent, because I don't want Allison at the improv thinking that she can just have whoever call us.
I think Allison feels pretty bad. Allison's great. And
yeah, we love Allison. She hooks us all the time.
She does. They, you know, DC Improv's been through the ringer the last 2 years, and it's glad to see them surviving and doing well. But it's also the day after the NFL draft, and a phoner or a comedian on the phone is just probably not great. But we have Kevin Nealon scheduled for next week.
I love Kevin Nealon.
That's right in the junk's wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah. We talked about it before. Older comedians. Oh,
at the DC Comedy Loft.
You know, if you're in if you're in SNL in the mid to late 90s, you're right in the junk's wheelhouse.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to get...
What's your favorite Kevin Nealon bit?
I don't know if I even know a Kevin Nealon bit. No. Happy Gilmore. I know you're thinking SNL, but I like him from Happy.
Okay, well, where he's the inspirational bull.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, you don't remember Subliminal Man?
No, what's that?
I
didn't really watch SNL. I had a bedtime.
You had a bedtime.
Well, you think my parents let me stay up till midnight?
You think I watched SNL in the late 90s at midnight on Saturday?
I'm not on YouTube watching old Kevin Nealon clips.
You're not a comedy aficionado.
And you know what? And if I did stay up late, I actually like Mad TV.
You're a Mad TV mark.
I was a Mad TV. Bobby Lee.
You know who you are? You're the kid who was waiting to watch Howard Stern on E! To see the pixelated boobies at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And then watching the Girls Gone Wild infomercials at 1 a.m. That was you. But Subliminal, you don't remember Subliminal Man?
I don't even know what that is.
Your job today is to YouTube Kevin Nealon, Weekend Update, Subliminal Man.
All right, I'll report back to you.
Give me the
on what I thought. But I know he's a big name and a big time stand up comedian in over the last few decades. So he'll have great stories. And then there's a comedian that I love discovering comedians that I put Valdez on to. He's not won over yet, but I think he'll do great with the junkies. His name's Stavros. He's a New York comedian. I think he grew up in Baltimore. But he knows who Big O and Dukes are. I know that. That's probably why.
Yeah, no wonder.
There was some clip around of him mentioning Big O and Dukes that I saw somewhere, and it intrigued me enough. But he's got, he does amazing crowd work. And so if you do great crowd work,
which is basically the same thing as Jonin.
And he does a lot of Jonin on clothes and all that kind of stuff. So I think he'll be a great Joner on the junks when he comes in.
That'll be great.
Trying to get him down. All right, Valdez, you wanted to talk about bad neighbors. A great conversation this week on the show. It should have been a longer segment. We should have planned that out better. But the junks were hit the ground running with that one.
I'm actually a little surprised by the junkies and their neighborly duties, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. I didn't realize, Eric is a recluse.
He's just kind of an ass.
Right?
Right? Like, why would he said he wouldn't call 911
if your house was on fire.
And he goes, maybe he's burning Lee something.
Yeah. I didn't understand that. But I think the best neighbor to be is either Cakes or JP.
No, Cakes.
Cakes?
JP, too nosy.
Oh, really?
Too nosy. He doesn't miss anything. He's very observant.
Uh-huh.
And he's got a little bit of how you kind say of, kind OCD.
Uh-huh. So you think he'd be like Wistoria Lane, yeah, and no, he, Desperate
he'd
Housewives.
Like, he'd like knock you out to the HOA or something. I can see JP doing
like
that.
Like JP would raise a stink. Raise a stink. Mm-hmm. Like if your dog took a dump on his lawn.
Right. Yeah. He's a stickler for rules.
If your mailbox was a little off center or the wrong color.
Do you agree with my assessment?
I kind of get that.
Lurch. Absolutely not.
No, well, no. Unless Jason, no, here's the thing, is that it's such a 50-50 shot with Jason. So you're either on like his really, really good side, or all of a sudden he hates you so much. And the fact that there's the distance between those two is so large.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be hated. And then all of a sudden your business is out on the air, like Jason does with his neighbors.
Here's the thing. If your neighbor's with Jason, you're probably rich. Right?
Okay, that's
and
a fair
so
point.
So you have a connection. We know the way to his heart.
Oh, money.
Money.
Oh, yeah. You know, he'd probably, like, take you up into the suite to go see Rizzo.
But you can't just be rich and have a boring job. You have to be rich and have something unique about your job or something worth bragging about.
You have to have something that you're willing to give to him.
Right, yeah. What can he take
from you? Doesn't have to, yeah, it doesn't have to be, like, financial or anything. But you have to offer
you
something.
You have to own a meatpacking company in Laurel, Maryland.
Yeah, you have to have, like a free sub card that you can give him or something.
Right, exactly.
Okay, but that's the thing with Jason. It's like, all of a sudden, you're buddy-buddy with him, and you're in his driveway drinking cocktails together, telling stories, or he hates you and telling your business out over the air.
Yeah, I'm glad we stopped him from talking about his neighbor, or EB stopped him.
EB did. EB finally.
That's gonna get back. That's gonna get back.
But Cakes, I think Cakes is the best neighbor, is because he's so caring. Right?
Yes, Cakes.
Now, the problem is that Cakes, I think Cakes is kind of clueless when it comes to home stuff.
He is, but you don't need a neighbor for that, right? Unless
here's the problem.
Unless he's got a drill bit you need to borrow.
Well, here's the problem is that you can't show any kind of manly duties around him, because then all of a sudden he'll ask about it. Because I feel bad for Kevin, all right? Kevin is Cakes' neighbor.
What does Kevin get from Cakes?
Yeah, what does Kevin get from Cakes? And all Cakes does is work Kevin over for his handyman skills.
Kevin gets his name on the radio.
I don't think Kevin cares about that.
Doesn't seem like it. You're right. I don't think Cakes. But Cakes said he would do all those neighborly things. Pick up packages. He said he would water Kevin's plants if he was out.
Oh, yeah, well, he better, because Kevin's over there installing recessed lighting in his house.
Yeah. Would you?
This is what Kevin might get.
I'm the worst neighbor. Me or EB, but my recent track record isn't great.
Yeah, you go around punching people.
No. You went around and punched somebody. I get around and get arguments with them.
This is what Kevin gets out of Cakes. I think Kevin's wife sees him be so manly and basically help this peon, this lazy slug who can't change a tire or screw in a light bulb, then all of a sudden sees her husband become Superman.
Macho man.
Yeah. Macho man, machismo Kevin, and then all of a sudden throws herself at him for being so manly. That's what I think in my head.
Our minds are polluted by pornography and sex.
You know,
we can't have a nice conversation.
No, it doesn't have to be sex, but all of a sudden you assert your manly dominance by treating Cakes like a little lap dog.
Well, here's the bottom line is Cakes is the nicest junkie. So by default, he would be the nicest neighbor. Yeah. Now you tell me on JP. Maybe I'm being too hard on JP.
I didn't think about that, but I think about JP and his new man crush neighbor he has. Okay.
Yeah.
Where you're hitting the heavy bag in the gym together. You're hanging out talking about NFTs and cryptocurrency. JP went out to Vegas for an MMA fight with his new neighbor.
You know what? Yeah, he did. Him and his neighbor. I think that guy Eric that he mentions all the time was his neighbor at his old townhouse.
Yeah, at the skinny townhouse.
And they became best friends or very close friends.
Very close friends.
Now, here's what I'm looking for from a neighbor.
This is like your dating profile for your neighbor.
I don't want to be friends with my neighbor. I want brief, pleasant conversations. You don't get that with JP. Pleasant, yes. Brief. I don't want to get flamed, and I'm just trying to check the grab my mail.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to talk about for 20 minutes out there about whatever, you know.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're getting the mail. JP's coming back from his run, and then he's telling you how he did every mile.
You imagine you're stuck in that conversation. You got something burning on the stove. Can't get in there. You can't even get a word in.
See, I'm thinking about, here's the thing. So if JP is your neighbor, you got a guy who can get you some tickets.
It basically comes down to who's the nicest. So Cakes, probably the nicest, then JP, then Lurch, then EB.
I would say that.
Or the friendliest to.
Hey, what did you think of my hypothetical? Was that a little crossing the line?
What was your hypothetical?
That all of a sudden you smell the smoke in the backyard, mm-hmm. and you know Eric is sitting there in the fire pit watching college lacrosse on ESPN Plus.
Okay,
and you go back and you grab your you grab a bottle of Jack from your bar cart. And you bring two glasses over, and you say, "Hey,
hey, howdy, neighbor!
Hey, neighbor, how you doing? I could smell the fire, but you mind if we hang out for a drink? All right."
Mm-hmm.
And then Erickson said, "No one would ever do that
because he's so mean. He's so unpleasant to be around that." It was a great hypothetical. It would just Evie's right. It would never happen. Does EB even invite us over to his house? Does he want anybody at his house?
You know, that is true.
Why is he spending all this money on Offenbacher's outdoor furniture when he's not having anybody over at his house?
It seems so lonely. Because isn't that where you have outdoor parties?
Unless you're a lacrosse coach, you can't come over to EB's house.
Unless you're drawing up plays for Stevie, you're not invited over. That's true. We were never invited over to hang out.
I've been invited over to EB's house one time, and that was for the NFL draft in 2008. And
wow.
And it was, so that's when the draft was that one was still on Saturdays? I think it was. It was Saturday mornings or something.
Why were you invited over?
Because
in 2008?
It was a radio bit. Like, Dukes asked him, and I think it was a bunch of random, like, listeners.
Oh.
It was Big O and Dukes, and Big O and Dukes listeners invaded EB's house to watch the draft. Oh.
No wonder he never has anyone over anymore. Now it makes a lot of sense.
Now, he did have six stadium seating in the day. I don't know if he still has.
Do you know the last time that I was invited? Let's see. I was invited over. What's the charity function that the news babes would do all the time for breast cancer? Do you remember what it was called?
I just know they all wear pink dresses.
Yeah, they all wear pink. They like have some party that's hosted.
You guys went into that.
So we went. It was me, Eric, and Tom. Okay.
Tom Daly?
No. Tom Healy. we went to that charity thing. Uh-huh. Eric was like invited by whoever.
Uh-huh.
And so he was just saying, "All right, we'll carpool together, meet at my house."
Why did you go to that?
Because no one else from the show wanted to.
Oh, okay.
And he forced me to go. So we go over to Eric's, and it's in like downtown DC. And so Eric said, "Well, we'll just come by after the show, after you're done work.
Get some cocktails.
Bring a change of clothes and everything." So the event doesn't start till like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
We're just hanging out all day at EB's.
So like I get to Eric's at, I don't know, 3, 4. And me and Eric, you know what Eric's idea of fun was when we went over there?
What's that?
We went down to his home gym, and he says, "Let's get a pump going before we go down to the party."
I just spilled my mouth.
So we're in Eric's home gym, all right?
And that old rusty equipment.
He's showing me the 11.593 picture, and we're sitting there doing our curls. We're doing squats, and Eric's riding on his stationary bike, and we get a pump going, and then get dressed to go over to Tom Healy's the pregame, and then go out.
That's funny, man. I could definitely see that happening.
He gave me the tour. He gave me the tour of the house.
I remember the tour. Yeah,
the old tour. His disheveled media room.
the droopy power lines.
Got to see them in person.
Yep. I've been in Jason's house.
I've lived in Jason's house.
Yeah.
I've been to Cakes' house.
I've been to JP's. They invite us over. JP, you know, JP does like to throw parties, though.
That is, and he's inviting everybody, because isn't he inviting his neighbors?
Yeah, you know, I think I take back what I said about JP. He might be a pretty good neighbor outside the flame.
Hey, you've seen JP's community, too. So if you say you're rich and you live next to Jason, you'll have some dough if you live in JP's neighborhood.
Well, I just mean you have to be rich to be friends with Jason, for him to be friendly to you.
Oh, gotcha.
Otherwise, that makes sense. Otherwise, he's going to be a jerk to you, so... JP's, you know, probably nice to all people of all classes. Just pile it on these guys. It's so unneeded.
I know.
Probably, they're probably going to listen to this and be furious at us.
They're probably happy we're off their feed.
Good show this week, though. I was looking forward to tomorrow with Rappaport, but it is what it is. He canceled. Because otherwise, it's going to be 4 hours of draft, which is probably the right thing to do.
Anything for our ratings.
Yeah.
You know what? If you want your non-draft coverage, listen to Bit Season.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, if you subscribe and we're doing well and they like, there's a possibility we'll do this more than once a week. I would love to do Bit Season twice a week. So would Valdez.
I would.
We just don't, you know, we want to make it worth the company's time. So we want to make sure that we're doing a good job and people like the show. And we don't want to do bad episodes either.
So. That is true, too.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Hope everybody enjoys the NFL draft tonight and Friday and Saturday.
Make sure you subscribe. Please subscribe.
Subscribe, and then if you're on social media and you're not embarrassed by this kind of thing, tweet about it. Let people know that you enjoy the show and where to find it. Send the link over.
Yeah, share it with some buddies. Say, hey, these guys are kind of funny.
Yeah, and keep in mind, we're being groomed to be the Junkies' replacements.
Yeah, we are the heir apparent.
At least according to the two people talking right now.
in our fantasy world. No, this is what's going to happen.
Right, you tell me what David Field is going to do.
All right, this is what's going to happen. So, Jason's got one foot out the door already. He's got Carolina on his mind. He's James Taylor. Cakes is going to retire because he has a billion Bitcoin. And he can do whatever he wants, and he'll be down in Kiowa before you know it. Eric's already in Florida.
Eric's starting a podcast with Vinny and Joe.
Yeah. Him, Vinny, and Joe, they're going to do a New York Mets podcast while he is on his Comrex in Florida. JP, on the other hand, JP will work until he's 85. This is what's going to happen.
Okay.
All right. The other three guys are going to retire. Then it's going to be the Sports Junkies with JP, Drab, and Valdez.
I like it. That could be a show.
That's the show.
JP does the heavy lifting, sets up the topics, grinds. He's got the stats and the sports knowledge.
And it's just an extension of the show.
Yeah, then you and me assist with the chemistry.
Yeah, then the cakes shows me how to use the instant replay machine.
And I get all of EB and Jason's FanDuel reads.
That's funny.
And I'll be thankful for them.
Yeah, but that's the future.
I like
That's the future.
All right. The Junkies with JP, Drab, and Valdez.
JP, Drab, and Valdez.
Coming at you in 2040.
Yeah, he's got a five-year-old he's got to pay college for.
All right. Yeah, he did say he'll be working a long time.
Uh-huh.
All right, guys. Enjoy the draft. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you soon on The Junkies.
Later.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.